Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J Cast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Tuesday, the 30th of January, 2024. This is episode 295. Can I ask you a sports question?
Yeah, I like sports questions. I like sports. I like sporting activities. What you got?
I'm watching a bit of sports right now. I'm watching the Arsenal taking on Nottingham Forest away.
Right, that should be a win, right? That's a win, right?
I said it's a tricky one.
Yeah,
we are winning. Okay. We should win, and I'll be very annoyed if we don't win. But you can never tell in the wacky world of the Premier League.
Yeah,
because we lost this fixture last year, so who knows?
You do Tuesday night games. Tuesday night games.
Yeah, it's unusual. We wouldn't normally be playing on a Tuesday night in the Premier League. But oh, go on, Saka! Yay!
There you go. See?
It's 2-0.
There you go. See? I brought the good. I brought the goals, baby. I brought the goals.
Certainly did. Eat shit, Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. You Minty. Guys stink.
Fuck you.
No one likes you, Nottingham Forest. What's Nottingham Forest? Is that Robin Hood?
Yep, that's right.
Oh, look at those guys.
Bunch of wankers.
Yeah, stealing from the rich. Ha! What a dummy. What a stupid sack and arrows. Dope.
Shooting hard on the Sheriff of Nottingham.
I really don't care about him. I had somebody yelling at me the other day about Queens Park Rangers. Queens Park Rangers?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did that happen? Why was someone yelling at you about QPR?
Well, what happened was I got in an argument with my best friend. I still haven't talked to him in like 2 weeks. Because
let's unpick this. What was the argument about?
You really want to know how it started? Okay, here's how it started. So I had people over, but I didn't want to drink because I knew if I drank, I would be just fucking miserable. And, you know, I got somewhat of a streak going. So I was like, I'm not doing it. Well, he loaded up. And what were we arguing about? Oh, we were arguing about, the importance, who was more important in music, NXS or Oasis? And I said Oasis. It's not even a question. Like, it's not even debatable. Like, just look at the fucking raw numbers. And he's like,
what was the band he was saying is
more NXS.
NXS. I've never heard of them.
You've heard of them. Yeah, trust me. I guarantee you have. Need You Tonight. I Need You Tonight. I mean, Michael Hutchins is I fucking bang the hell out of him. I'd let him bang the hell out of me. He's that attractive. But he's dead. I guarantee you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's NXS. Okay.
I remember Michael Hutchins. I remember that being in the news. It was like the late 90s, wasn't it? It was, yeah. There was one of the rumors going around about
him, Paulie Yates.
Asphyxiation. Yeah.
Paulie Yates. They had a kid, I want to say. Tiger Lily.
Yeah.
Bob Geldof had to get was involved and all that. I mean, look, the guy led the life. And I love NXS. Don't get me wrong. They're one of my favorite bands. But, like, I mean, I can't sit here and say, I mean, Oasis sold triple the albums that fucking NXS sold. And he always brings up, I don't know if you remember back at the Brits, Oasis was kind of cleaning up, and Michael Hutchins was one of the presenters. And Liam, you know, he's all fucking hammered out of his mind. He's like, you know, something about, like, has-beens shouldn't be giving awards to current stars or something like that. Something along the basically insinuating that, you know, we're great and you guys are old and good, get off the stage. And he always brings it up. He's always like, that's what made him kill himself, man. I'm like, shut up. That's not what it was.
Didn't he was just trying to have a lovely wank and it went wrong.
You know, these things happen. Nothing wrong with that. I've been there. I've been hanging from a banner. You know, things happen. You know, you make, you know, one wrong move and away you go. Dick in hand. So, that turned into, we get it, you know, just me being like, I get it, dude. It's all about you. Nothing, the world doesn't fucking turn unless you say, oh, we get it. And it was just that. It turned into one of those. Anywho.
Well, I'm adjudicating here. You are correct.
I am correct. I have no doubt. I mean, just look at the fucking numbers. Come on. And again, I love both bands, but I'm just trying to keep it real, as the kids say. What was our point? What was the point of this?
I had a sports question.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about Arsenal. Oh, yeah. So then it was, there's another guy that comes, you know, Mackie. But he's a fraud because he likes Manchester City. And I'm like, dude,
fuck off.
And I'm like, you've never rooted for Manchester City. Never. In your entire – oh, yeah, I did. When I was three, my mom would put – I'm like, you're so full of shit. You've never said the words Man City. But the reason why he likes them is because Oasis. Yeah.
All right.
That's
how that – not a big Georgie Kinkladze fan then, no. Right. So this fucking fraudulent Man United fan is like Okada. No, I'm not going to talk about Okada now. But he's a Man City fan. Just tells you all you need to know about – that sort.
Ah, is that right? He is a Man City fan. Okay, yeah. And then how we got to Queen's Park, it was Robert Smith of The Cure is a fan of that particular squad. And that's like, and I think I just threw out the line. I was like, what am I going to start liking them because of The Cure? Fucking idiot. I'm especially like Aston Villa.
The best.
Duran Duran. I hate people. I'm daily, every single day, I'm disappointed by human beings. Every day.
And except me.
Except you. That is exactly true. That is exactly true. And it's just like every day you wake up and you're just like, ugh. You're just like, I need a change. I feel like I just want to move. You know? Maybe I should move to Thailand, Joel. Seems like a nice place, right? Lots of...
Thailand's great.
Lots of fun and nice weather and a whole street of beautiful women.
Yep.
I sound like a 50-year-old man.
Excellent things in exchange for money.
That's sure. Right, I'm sure. You know, hey, you wanna detail my car? If you know what I mean. But that's like I don't know. There's like I think if somebody said, if you take this pill, you could change everything in your life. Now you're gonna have to get rid of some of the good, but it's a complete change, and you get to pick the change. Or you take this pill. I feel like the Matrix, but or you take this one, and you know we never had this conversation. I think I would be taking the pill. I think I would be taking the pill. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Right. Right. Oh, and the job interviews are driving me crazy. It's really I'm going to come clean. I've been looking for a job for quite a while now. And it is
/shows/super-j-casts.
Right. And trust me, I feel the ageism in the world. I feel it. I feel it in the interviews. But I also feel the if anybody else is actively searching for employment or new employment or a better situation, trust me, I'm sure they're nodding their head and be like, this is torturous. It is. It's absolutely fucking torturous. It is the worst thing. It honestly, I would rather at this point sell fucking drugs. You know, I feel like I would be a really good drug dealer. You know what I mean? Like I would be.
Well, I had a suggestion for you. Exactly. A great company you could work for that actively discourages young people from getting ahead. What's New that? Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, boom! we do a podcast about New Japan Pro Wrestling, don't we? Thank God. I mean, trust me, this pays.
Eventually, we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah, I'm afraid.
Take our time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's our show. We'll do what we want. I'll tell you, I was so happy. I didn't have I was just happy we did it. Every once in a while, I'll just be goofy and be like, hey, we do a New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I was thrilled that we do that. Because if I had to sit there and talk about that monstrosity of a fucking wart on the back end of society, I would jump out a window. Oh, God almighty. Why do we like this stuff? Why do we like this stuff? You know, I'll tell you why. When it's good, when pro wrestling is good, I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing that beats it. Not music, not film, not TV. There's really nothing that can beat it when it's really firing on all cylinders. And every once in a while, like, the engine will kind of rev up a little bit, but then it'll die. And you'll get a little glimmer of hope, and it'll just sputter. But I will say this. There is nothing worse than bad pro wrestling. Like, I would rather watch a bad movie than watch bad pro wrestling. I would rather listen to bad music than watch bad pro wrestling. Like, there's nothing worse. And I just feel like we are in this pattern of, okay, here's a taste of something good, and then, everything that surrounds pro wrestling. Just one of those weird things. And you know what it is, too? And hopefully things change. I know I'm rambling. I'm sorry. I say this every time, though. I say this every time. Maybe something will change. But I can't think of an industry that's technically legal that is any worse. Oh, wait a minute. I take that back. U.S. healthcare. That's worse. That's worse than the WWE in pro wrestling.
Did you watch the Royal Rumble?
No, not a second of it. Why did you?
I watched the men's Royal Rumble. It's one of those things. I just have to watch it every there. Year.
Why not watch the women's one too, huh? What's the matter? You can't give equal time?
the reports I heard was that it was not very good. To be honest, neither was the men's one. The men's one was crap. So, maybe I should go and watch the women's one.
Maybe it was great. Who knows? I haven't watched a WWE thing in eon. I can't remember the last time.
It was extremely funny seeing CM Punk tear his tricep and put on the shelf after taking like one wrestling move.
He is fragile, isn't he? Poor guy. He's just trying to put a fucking. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to put a nice bow on his pro wrestling career. You know what I mean? Like, he's just trying to end it on a high note, and it just keeps falling apart on poor guy. Like, at every fucking step, it's like another
set Midas touch. Everything he touches turns to shit.
Yeah, look, you know, not for nothing. I do like the CM Punk, but you know, there's a common denominator, and sometimes you're the common denominator. Went all around. Trust me, I think of it every day. I do it every day. I think of that statement. Common denominator on us. So, no, I didn't want. I mean, what are they building toward? They're building toward Roman and Cody.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems like, I don't know if The Rock is supposed to be involved in that some way, but
yeah.
I mean, fair play to Cody. That's.
I mean,
he's doing all right for himself, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he got. Well, here's the thing. This is like a year in the making. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't he supposed to take the title?
The story.
The story. If I hear that one more time, his story. Fucking Christ.
I'm going to say this. His best match, and I maintain this, his best match was against Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom 12.
I don't know. I didn't want. I was in the line taking a piss. now,
some batting line. It was good.
Yeah. Yeah. That line, very efficient too. Very long. You look at it and you're like, oh, there's no way I'm going to make it. Line moved very well. Very well. And next thing you know, relief was on its way. Yeah, I couldn't tell you half the people that are in WWE. I couldn't pick them out of a fucking police lineup.
No, that was my takeaway. Like most of the Royal Rumble, these guys coming out, I'm like, who's this? What's happened to this roster?
Right. I feel like me reading like the Coachella lineup. Like, who the fuck's this been? I've never heard of these people. Yeah, that's me. That's me. Definitely. All right. Look, I know we have plenty to talk about. I know the world is abuzz with Okada stuff that we still don't get credit for.
Yeah, can we just say this? Sorry, excuse anyone. Next time you talk about the Barry Bloom stuff, it was us.
Yeah.
Super J-Cast that broke that news. Wouldn't kill you to throw our names out there.
I've given up. I'm going to be honest with you. I've given up. One, here's the thing. I've given up in the sense of, I think we both made this decision, but I made the decision long ago, and I think you've been running the show on social media, but you were like,
When you say running the show, you mean systematically alienating increasingly large chunks of our listenership. Yes, exactly. That is what I have been doing.
I love that. That I see the difference between us and every other show is that we don't fucking care, right?
I've actively tried to shrink our listenership.
right.
There's too many people listen to us and follow us.
Right.
I don't like it.
No, I hate it.
My end goal is that it's just me and you talking.
That's all I want. I want somebody to give me the numbers. And I want to see a big fat zero of downloads and listens. And then I know we can end it because then that's it. Like, I don't want to stop. We're not stopping out of spite. Yeah. We need them to do that. So here's a realization too. One, the tweets are when we tweet shit out again, it just gets stolen. Every once in a while, we'll get credit and whatever, the retweets, but it doesn't really mean anything. Like, it doesn't mean anything to our listenership. It doesn't mean anything to all that. But then, trust me, there are people that don't listen to us that like you would think would listen.
Probably fucking should.
I mean, I don't understand that. Like, how would you, why would you, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, if I'm going to throw like just something random. I don't know. Fucking, if I were in Depeche Mode, forum or Discord channel or whatever. I'm not saying our Discord channel is this way, but there are. I know there are. But like, if I'm in like a Depeche Mode Discord, wouldn't I listen to Depeche Mode? Right? Wouldn't I be like, I don't know.
Yeah, and you certainly want to be listening to Depeche Mode before offering some strong opinions about Depeche Mode.
Right. Right. Thank you very much. Right. Man, they should fucking stop with the drums and they've had live drums for fucking 20 years, people.
Oh dear. Nottingham Forest just pulled a goal back.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
They stole 2 minutes of normal time left. I'm
stealing
scared.
From the rich.
Hold me.
They're stealing from the rich. Here we go.
Robin Hood. Fantasy football clean sheet points. A silent flute says, who are Damon's favorite all-time Phillies players?
Wow. Would it shock you that I was never really the biggest? Well, I was growing up as a kid, so let's go on that. Okay, favorite Phillies players. Cliff Lee, I liked a lot. He was a pitcher. But see, my favorites are like older players, and they're like weird players too. I like this pitcher. His name was Dick Ruthven. I just like the way he pitched.
That's a great name.
Dick Ruthven. The Phillies had plenty of great names. A guy by the name of
mouthfeel, that name Ruthven,
right? Dick Ruthven, number 44. Who else would I say that I was a big fan of? I liked a guy, a Bob Dernier. He was this center fielder, he stole a ton of bases. I liked that. I liked the. Who else did I like? I did like, see, I'm naming like all these older players. The current lineup, I guess I like Schwarber because he's just like this, like the guy looks like he just fucking walked off the construction site. You know what I mean? Like he just looks like it's just a fucking guy that just happens to be able to hit home runs and that's about it. I don't know. Do I like Bryce Harper? I guess. I don't know. Baseball kind of is weird for me. Like I just, sometimes I'm just like, so boring. Baseball is so incredibly boring.
Okay, that's not the response I was hoping for this. No? Let's move on then.
All right.
No, I'm pulling the plug on that. So,
boy, Dan's going to have a fucking field day with this show. I'll tell you that.
So Antonio asked a question last year, which you kind of touched on, but I do think it's worth going back to. So he's asking about Bushiroad, like have they run their course as New Japan owners? And there was some really interesting stuff shared on our Discord.
Oh.
He's very scared. No! Fuck! Oh my god, a little bit of shit just came out of my ass.
That's hot.
Right, so Aramitha shared a link. So it's www.matthewball.vc/all/gaming2024. So he said it's a very good read about the current economics for developing video games and how grim the overall outlook is right now. It focuses on the US, but also includes mobile. So it has a lot of observations that are probably relevant to Bushiroad. The mobile player base has ossified into a small number of titles that get most of the money, and developing new titles is prohibitively expensive. No, stay with me.
I'm sorry, okay.
Okay. All right. Fine. I'll skip.
You're fine. I'm being an asshole.
Investment in general is trending well below where it was projected to pre-COVID. So basically, the short version is Bushiroad invested a lot of money in a market that basically is going down the shitter. Okay. So I was curious as to whether this might affect New Japan. Like, is it possible that because the mobile games division of Bushiroad is going tits up, that is hamstringing New Japan from a financial perspective? Or do you think those two aspects of the Bushiroad portfolio are separate enough for it not to be an issue?
Well,
because we have heard
accounts
that Bushiroad don't have a pot to piss in. I don't know whether that is people being fobbed off, people who are asking for improved contracts, or if this is a genuine thing that might have something to do with the mobile games market dying on its ass.
Well, I mean, look, if they're pumping out that line to the wrestlers who are trying to renegotiate deals or negotiate deals because their contracts are up, then yes. Yeah, then that's a problem. If they're using that as a crutch and saying, we're poor, we have no money, we can't give you anything, we can give you a free hot dog for your troubles. Yeah, that's a problem. The one thing I don't understand is why would they be in one big pot? Because trust me, let's put it this way: if it were reversed and the mobile game industry was booming, do you think any of that money would be funneled into New Japan Pro Wrestling?
I don't know. I mean, it's not like, you know, New Japan is doing absolute gangbusters and should be rolling in money. I don't know if I'm suggesting that New Japan money is being taken out of New Japan and put into the mobile games division. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm an idiot, basically.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, like, I don't know. I wouldn't know it. Like, if somebody told me it, I wouldn't understand it. I would just look at them with like a glazed eye and be like, I have no idea what the fuck you're saying. Can you explain it like I was fucking three? But look, I mean, we've heard it that the, you know, discussions do involve that, you know, Bushiroad being cash poor. Okay. Well, like I said, if roles were reversed, like, I just don't understand what one has to do with the other, to be truthful. Like, if the pro wrestling division is, you know, let's just say it's doing okay, because I don't think it's doing great, but I think it's doing well. And in the Bushiroad portfolio, when they look at all the different divisions, I mean, the pro wrestling division seems to be one that is, you know, holding its own. Right? I just don't understand what would be the financial and economic and business gain for Bushiroad to have all these numbers mixed together? Like, wouldn't it make more sense? Because they're completely different things, right? They're completely different people that they're targeting with their marketing and who does what, where and why and how they generate income. Like, to put it all in one pot seems very, very silly to me. But okay. I guess your question is this. Is their business dealings with this mobile bullshit, mobile app shit, hurting New Japan? And I'm going to say apparently it is, or maybe even closer to the truth is, at least they're saying it in their negotiations with the wrestlers in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So is it impactful? Yes. Just for that alone, just because they're using that as a bargaining tool when sitting down and negotiating contracts for the pro wrestlers. And if I were the pro wrestlers, I would be like, I don't give a fuck about the mobile apps. I want to know, where are we in, as a pro wrestling division? And here's the past 2 years of what we've done and what I've done. And what do I need to do? What do I need to do? So yeah, I mean, like I said, but I'm sure somebody smarter than me will be able to say, well, this is why they do this and this is why they do that.
Breaking news, full time, Nottingham Forest 1, Arsenal 2. We did it, Damon.
There you go.
Bringing the points back home.
Bringing it in. Bring it home. Yes, so there you go. So what's the word on the street with that?
No, it's just idle speculation from me. It's public knowledge that Bushiroad's the stock problems were caused by investments in the mobile gaming market that failed, basically. So, that's that.
NFTs?
Let me ask another question.
Any NFTs involved here?
Aramithus says it. Don't make me talk about NFTs, please. I'll get very, very angry. Right. It looks like the WWE Network is going to get subsumed into this Netflix deal. How long until New Japan World and similar Japanese wrestling streaming services suffer a similar fate? So do you think that is a sort of an inevitability that NJPW Worlds is going to get hoovered up into one of these massive conglomerates? Or do you think the sort of the Japanese TV market is more impenetrable?
Yeah, I think it's a little different, right? I think it's... I don't necessarily think it does get swallowed up like that. I mean, stranger things have obviously happened, but it's two different styles and ways of doing business. And maybe that answers the first question, really. I don't see that happening. I wish they would, because truth be told, I'm to this day, Joel, do you have problems watching shows? Like, stuff doesn't load for me.
I'm still really annoyed that I can't just put on a show and watch the whole show, that I have to go, like, navigate to...
Chapter
like,
7, season chapters. 2. Yeah.
That is ridiculous. Oh,
stinks so bad. Why can't anybody get that right? Every time I try to load something up, every time, I don't care what browser, it just doesn't... The show doesn't load. I can get to the... click the button. I can do that. It never loads. It never loads. So thank God for torrents.
Amen.
Sorry.
All right, I'm going to move on then. Andrew says, live reactions to this, please. I've sent you a link. So this is exclusive footage of what Okada is going to be doing after leaving New Japan. Oh, so I have sent you a link on
the app,
your WhatsApp. Yeah. So the fans would like your live reactions to this 49-second video clip.
Okay. Oh, there it is. Oh. Is this Shenmue? Is it?
It's not, no.
Oh, he's frying stuff. He's making a sandwich in his tights. He's got his shorts on, his Okada shorts on. There you go. Gave you a free plug. There you go. He's making burgers. Looks good. It's a big burger. Nah.
Mossberger. You ever had a Mossberger?
I believe that is. We don't have them around here, that's for sure. Oh, he's chomping it up. who made this? And is now we got a big chicken wing? Is that what that is? The ring?
Or I don't know. It's like really very, very bad kind of early 2000s tier graphics. And this seems to be like an official Mossberger produced video.
Yeah.
I would have thought they'd be able to actually get Okada himself in the kitchen to shoot this, but apparently he big-leaked them too. So they had to use some bad computer graphics instead.
There's
but
a lot of that got going around.
Doing quality to it.
Yeah. He's a madman right now. He's just big time on everybody. what's the word on the street? What are we? We really haven't heard much of where he's landing. I mean, I think the general consensus is AEW, right? But from everything I've heard, it's been WWE all along, but who knows?
Well, Dana, our I'm not going to say friends, the people over at Monthly Progress have insisted that he's going straight into NXT. So if that doesn't happen, then you can strike them off the credibility chance. Aww. But there you go. Other opinions are available. It would be funny if he ended up in WWE. I don't really care that much either way, to be honest.
I truly don't. Like, I guess, I mean, look, I would take him tomorrow, but like, if wherever he lands, I hate to say it. Like, you know what? I think there will be some interest. Just to see what they do with him wherever he goes. So maybe listen, if I'm being truthful with everyone, I'm going to see where he goes. And just that, you know, okay, that beginning. Because I did it with Shinsuke, and that match was really awesome with Sami Zayn. I remember that well. So yeah, I will. I'm like, I can't sit here and be like, oh, I don't give a fuck. I'll watch wherever he goes. But I will be honest and say I don't care where he goes. I don't care if he goes to AEW. I don't care if he goes to WWE. If he goes to AEW, I'm sure I hear people, well, there's a good possibility he could then be on New Japan show. Okay, well.
No thanks.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I'm good. Yeah. I really feel like in my head, in my heart, in my enjoyment of New Japan Pro Wrestling, I've moved on. I've moved on. And that sucks. I hate to say it because it's just like, all right, what I want. But yeah, I mean, where he goes, I mean, doesn't really matter, does it?
No, who cares? all right, I'm moving on then. So let's talk about Road to the New Beginning. So we started Tuesday, January 23rd in Korakuen Hall. So I'm not going to go match by match, or just give my cliff notes for the undercards. First of all, I want to say, for both nights really, outstanding job by Walker Stewart flying solo, and he had some help. We had Hinari popping in on the first night, and I think he was supposed to have ELP on the second night, but ELP got sick, and Walker was sick too. But did Walker phone it in, and did he say, oh no, sorry, I'm a bit poorly? No, he didn't. He delivered a top quality performance. I wouldn't have been able to tell that he was sick unless I'd seen the tweets myself. So well done to him. I think he's getting a lot more confident. I dare say more confident flying solo than when he is in an overcrowded booth with people who talk over him and don't listen to him. So Walker, you should do it by yourself more often.
I tend to agree. The idea of him flying solo so early in his New Japan career, I mean, look, if you said, okay, the guy's going to have, you know, what, 2 months under his belt, and, you know, that now he's going to fly solo for some shows. And look, emergency situations call for emergency performances and stepping up. I mean, seriously, if you told me that he was, you know, 2 months into this, I wouldn't have believed it. He sounded like he was right there. And I will say this too. You're right in the sense of, you know, there's no way he could have done solo shows by himself starting out. But he's picked it up so quick and he's gotten so comfortable behind the mic that I wouldn't be surprised if he's just like, all right, cool. I'll I'll do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be weird to talk to yourself for, you know, 2 hours or so, 3 hours. But, you know, actually he's talking with us. You know, he's with us watching along. Good for him. Good for him. That's not easy. It's not easy to do, to talk for 3 hours by yourself, number one. Number two, you're doing it apparently under the weather. And you know what's scary? I had to go to the doctor's today. I just had a regular appointment. Don't worry. Everything's okay, everyone. They make you wear masks again. We're doing masks again.
Ooh.
In doctor's offices, yeah. The COVID is back. COVID's back. I know a couple people who are have been banged up with it. So, yeah, I was just like, yeah, sir, you're going to have to put on a mask. I was like, what? Yeah, yeah. Oh, Christ. All right. Fucking Christ. I was just like, what? What? What are we doing?
21.
What's that?
What is this? 2021?
Yeah.
Masks on?
I they gave me that. It was like, you know, one of those medical masks. And they gave it to me. And I just stared at it in my hand like, oh, what? I'm not going to be like, I'm not doing this. And my liberties. And I'm not doing that. But in my head, I'm just like, what? What? Like, it took me by surprise. See, there's another thing, Joel. There's another thing where I'm just like, what are we doing? What am I doing? What is happening? All right. Let's talk a little bit more about New Japan Pro Wrestling, shall we?
Yes, let's. So we had some unfortunate news that Master Huato has torn his left ACL and he needs surgery. So that's unfortunate. I mean, I'm a Huato defender. I thought he had a really good year last year, and I was looking forward to seeing him push on. I thought those are some interesting seeds being planted, but maybe this could be a good chance for a repackage for him, because Show has been quite heavy-handed in the use of the Grandmaster nomenclature. So we'll see if there's maybe a new lick of paint or a new moniker when he does come back. I don't know if that's going to... Despy's mentioned something about 6 or 7 months, but those are quite nasty injuries. But they did make it into an angle with a Show beatdown. So
that's a couple months on the shelf, right? That's at least.
Yeah. He's going to be out for a while, but they have sort of set up the return program for when he does come back. So, we hope he gets well soon. Other bits and pieces from the undercard. So there was a little backstage brouhaha between David Finlay and Gabe Kidd. So Finlay was trying to do his promo and Gabe Kidd was just sort of shouting as he does behind Finlay. And Finlay said, Gabe, shut the fuck up, I'm talking. And then Gabe sort of stormed off. And the cameras didn't follow him. It was sort of barely picked up. You'd have to be paying attention to see that he did actually storm off. So I was, you know, some people are saying, oh, you know, they're saying, sowing the seeds for something coming up in the future. I was wondering if it was a shoot. Like maybe he was genuinely annoyed with Gabe mouthing off and then Gabe got cross and stormed off in a huff. So I'm not really sure what to make of that, but just throwing that one out there.
I would love it if that were the case. Wouldn't that be funny? That would be something.
But yeah, there's interesting stuff going on with this United Empire Bullet Club feud on these shows. Like it could go in lots of different directions, you know, there will be lots of twists and turns, I'm sure. But it was interesting getting to hear Callum Newman have a bit of extended time to talk on the mic. And I think, although he's not in the cage match, I think trying to elevate him should be one of the goals, and I'm sure that it is. And Greg Khan's been talking a lot. He sort of called out Okada. He's been talking about his regional revitalization program, how he's going to defend KOPW on house shows, and the rules are going to be different depending on which region he's in. But yeah, he's talking about how he's holding the KOPW title that Okada invented and abandoned. So I don't know. I would be surprised if one of those Sapporo matches for Okada involves Great Okan, but he is shooting his shots anyway, as the kids would say. So, I mean, that's all I got from the undercard. So I suppose we should move straight on to the This was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match with El Desperado getting in his first successful defense against Yoshinobu Kanemaru, 23 minutes, 55 seconds by the website. It says instead of numero dos, it says numero deuce with two O's. So numero deuce. this is good match. I like Despy's new red mask with his lovely ponytail flowing out from the back. His hair is like his energy bar. So as his hair gets sort of fluffier and more unkempt, that's as he's losing his powers. And this match sort of reminded me, I don't know if anyone else will remember this one, the 2017 Best of Super Juniors match when they were both still in Suzuki-gun. And it was like everyone in Suzuki-gun was bullying Despy. He was really trying hard and trying to win the match legit. And they were sort of gaslighting him and being nasty to him. He got bullied and outnumbered. And even back then had this sort of tremendous underdog babyface energy. So it's nice to see, 7 years later, it's coming to fruition with a big match like this. And this tour, this part of the tour is very House of Torture heavy. But I do feel that each member's featured matches, whether it's a Ren singles match or a Kanemaru singles match, they've got their own identity. This is not just like a monolithic House of Torture sludge. There are concentrated, like very, very concentrated bursts of interference, but they usually have nice payoffs. Like in this match, Despy's old dojo buddy, Tama Tonga, he came out and rescued Despy, and then Despy punched Eva in the gonad, so that you get a little bit of it, and then a nice payoff, and then the match moves along. I thought Hinari was really good on colour commentary here. He was adding the nuance of little things like Kanemaru, putting Despy in the Boston Crab, treating him like a young boy, etc. And yeah, we know how good Despy is at doing the knee matches. He was working Nobu's left knee, which I think was the one he had the kayfabe injury too, so that played into the finish. So when the limb work plays into the finishing move, that always gets an additional half star from me. And there was a really nice post-match anecdote from Despy about when he and Tama Tonga were together back in the day. He was invited to go out on a drinking session with Tama and Fale one night, and he ended up keeping Tama out of trouble. And now Tama had returned the favour. So that was really nice. I enjoyed hearing that. I always like those little behind-the-scenes glimpses. And then Despy was beaten up by Show post-match, and I think they've announced the match for night one at Sapporo, Despy versus Show. Despy says it's going to be a special singles match. He said Show doesn't deserve a title match. He says you can't just have like anyone saying, oh, I want a title match, and immediately really? Get one. So he refused his title match. But this is fun. Good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I know the old, everybody loves to say it a million times, but I'll say it a million and one times. You get Kanemaru in the ring, and he's just such a fucking general. Like, he just does things really well. Small things, stuff that probably falls under the radar for a lot of people, but it's just those small little sequences and those smart, nothing overly flashy, just smart, tight, snug and safe pro wrestling. What a gem. And it's not like El Desperado needs to be coached along. But I do like it when a guy like Kanemaru can get a little bit of a spotlight match like that. I thought the match was good. I don't think it was one of the best. I don't even think it was their best match, to be honest with you. But it was good. Like, I think I like El Desperado as a champ. And, like, for me, and I know I saw that Hiromu re-signed, which is a good thing. Again, nobody's complaining about that. Because trust me, if there's anybody that can get on here in the States, is Hiromu. Like, he has plenty of connections, very close to here. And that honestly had me a little bit worried that he might be one of those guys that might. This, because as we've said about Okada 1,000 times, like, it's kind of like, okay, so what are we going to do with Hiromu, right? So he was one of those guys that was in the back of my head of, this might be trouble. He might be back in back at the Jersey Shore, if you know what I'm saying. But I like Despy as champion a lot. I don't like the red mask. I'm going to disagree with you there, and I'm not a big fan of it. But him as champ, let it rain. Like, I want him to hold on to a title for a long time, because I think there's a lot of fun possibilities that we can go with. And I know we say this every time, like he wins a championship or just a different flavor holds on to a belt. Like the idea of all these different challengers that could possibly be. I think like him being champion helps at least fuel people's desires for fantasy booking great matches. You might never see them, but at least it opens up the possibility in the door there. So I'm good with it. Yeah, it wasn't a bad match. Like I would give it, like if we're throwing the flakes around. You're not at 4, are you?
3¾.
Yeah, perfect. We're on the same page.
Yeah. Well done. Well done, everyone involved. So then the following day in the Corrigan Hall, January 24th. So again, Cliff Notes from the undercard. Interesting little tidbit here. The Young Lion match in the opener. So there was Shoma Kato and Oleg Bolton defeated the team of Katsuya Murashima and Tori Yano. So you would have thought with Yano being the only established wrestler in the match that his side would be the winning side, but it wasn't. It was the two young Lions who won. So, I mean, obviously it was Murashima that took the fall, but I thought that was quite an interesting one. And I think now Oleg Bolton is the most senior young Lion left at the dojo at the moment, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe, yeah. So, him getting a win here, that's something to think about. He's got his own finishing move now. It's called Kamikaze. So there we go. That's something to look at. Oh, yeah. One other thing I wanted to talk to you about. So I'm going to take a slight tangent here. You're familiar with the game show Gladiators, or American Gladiators,
sure,
as it would be known to.
Yes.
So that has recently been rebooted and showing on BBC British Television on a Saturday evening. And I've been watching that with the family, and that's been a lot of good fun. So I was watching it, and then this character pops up on my screen. You know, I've sent you a picture on WhatsApp. This guy's name is Bionic. Now, are you thinking the same thing that I was thinking when you saw this guy?
Oh my god, Zach.
That's
right. It's a
non-speaking Zach Sabre Jr.
Yeah, it's Zach on the gas is what it is.
Zach on the gas. Yeah, so there we go. I don't know if he's moonlighting and he's got himself incredibly jacked. But Zach had a singles match against Tiger Mask, which, you know, the match itself was nothing to write home about. But I wonder if Mr. Sabre Jr. is being heated up for a big run, because he's been talking a lot. He's mentioned unfinished business with Okada. He's suggested a proper send-off with him in Sapporo. And again, I don't know if that necessarily is going to come to pass, or if it's him just talking, as guys tend to do in New Japan. But he said next time Okada is back, he's going to be IWGP champion. So he's doing a lot of big talk, Zack Sabre Jr. We have discussed a lot about how, with all these comings and goings, he should be a guy that benefits from this. And I think it is about time we kick the tires and push the boat out, so to speak. And maybe, do we want to strap up? Do we strap him up with a big boy belt this year?
Sure do. Yes.
Yes, we do.
Emphatically say yes. I am in the Zach camp for a nice lengthy title run. And if I'm not mistaken, it was either last week or the week before, I had some desires to see him do something fucking nasty. I just want him to do something dreadful. I don't know what that is. Like,
you say Hiro Matsuda, break someone's leg.
Yep.
Shoot.
Yep.
I want a compound fracture in the middle of the ring.
Wow. We need some.
Got one of those young lions on the shelf. Shoma Kato. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, Wato's getting surgery anyway. Might as well just, you know, he's going on another life anyway. Snap a limb. But no, I need something. You kind of need something to remind everyone that he's a dangerous guy. Because I think a lot of people enjoy watching him, but there has been something that has been lost in everyone loving the backstage promos and the fucking smartassness. And again, the ring work is fantastic, but there is something missing. And to help elevate him, and I'm assuming we're looking at him being a heel, go all out. Like, I need something to really solidify him as a problem, as a real fucking problem. And then, yeah, strap him up because, like, what would be the negative of that? One, he's popular everywhere. Like, he's popular in Japan, obviously. And when he goes to the States, I could be dead wrong. Maybe I'm blind as a bat, but I kind of see everyone loving the Zach, right? So he comes home. People are on their feet for the guy. Obviously he can cut a promo. Obviously his ring work is unbelievable. I just want him to be dangerous and a threat and a problem. That's all he needs at this point. And then I want him strapped up, and then I want him on a fucking breaking legs tour. Like, I want him to fucking break everyone's fucking leg. And then we need to build up a hero, if you will, to take that belt away from a guy. Which, here's the thing. The way that plays out is 1,000 times better than we need a hero to kick the shit out of Evil for being a fucking rule-breaking cunt. You know what I mean? Like, it works so much better. Like, people, I think, would enjoy it tenfold. And I dare say anyone who disagrees is wrong about that. I'm going to go so far as to say, yes, anyone who disagrees with that is, you're wrong, because that is the way to go. And in the meantime, you're getting those young guys. You know, this is, we got to start moving the ball here. So maybe simultaneously, we build and build and build. We're building two guys at once. Imagine that. One guy to go on a wrecking crew streak, and another guy to build and get big wins, so that when the time is right and the irons are hot, boom, we have a nice match, maybe two, toward the end of this year, that I think people would be falling head over heels to buy tickets.
Yeah, this should be a big year for TMDK in general. Because them, I think I would like to see Mikey and Shane get a proper run in the heavyweight tag division at the top of that. We're going to talk about Kosei Fujita soon. Let's get Bad Dude Teets in the country as well, so he can do something. So, yeah, I mean, I am sort of looking ahead to that Danielson-Zach singles match or rematch coming up. And I don't want to go down the whole rabbit hole of parity booking with AW, but that would be an excellent launching point for the big Zach run for him to get a clean singles win over Danielson, and maybe break one of his body parts, put him on the shelf.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You know, he wrestles fairly infrequently. So, yeah, that is one I'm circling in the diary as being a colossal match for defining where Zach is going to go this year. So
no doubt.
There's that.
No, go ahead. No, I'm in full agreement. Yep. Go for it. Yep.
Yeah. We have GOD versus GOD proposed for Sapporo to be Tama Tonga Sengloff match. So that'll be Tama and Tangaloa against ELP and Hikule, which other people scoffed at. I quite like that idea. I think it is an appropriate send off match for Tama Tonga. So I'm into that. I think that'll be good and emotional. Francesco Acura was very annoyed backstage with TJP for all the heavyweight chat. He feels like TJP's turning his back on Catch 2-2. Mm-hmm. And TJP said, like, oh, no, I can do open weight stuff. I need to step up for the heavyweight things and lead this group, but I'll never give up on Catch 2-2, blah, blah, blah. But something is definitely brewing there. I think when this is all said and done, I would be surprised, dare I say a little bit disappointed, if Acura is still with United Empire. I don't know if it's going to be Acura turning on them or them turning on Acura, but there's been an awful lot of noise there. So something to keep an eye out there. So that is all from the undercards. And let's get straight on to business then. In particular, the semi-main event, the seventh match, which was the never open weight six-man tag team championship match, where we saw the champions, Tomohiro Ishii, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kazuchika Okada, defeating in their eighth defense the challenger team, Kosei Fujita, Shane Haste, and Mikey Nichols, 22 minutes, 15 seconds. Okada pinned Fujita after a rainmaker to successfully retain and then vacate or at least suggest vacating the never six-man championships. And yeah, this is where I get slightly irritated because there's
who,
been
who Mark Pickering for Okada not doing a job on the way out.
I mean, there has just been an awful lot of straw man argument nonsense of people loudly criticizing completely fictional fans who these fictional fans have apparently demanded that Kosei Fujita pin Kazuchika Okada. I've not seen anyone saying that. I certainly didn't say that. Maybe actually listen to what we say, because at no point did either of us say we think Fujita should pin Okada. And let's be honest, Fujita pinning any of that trio would have been absurd, right? In kayfabe, purely kayfabe sense, Kosei Fujita is a rookie junior heavyweight, and the bulk of his experience on the main roster has been as a tag wrestler in Super Junior Tag League. So him pinning Ishii or Tanahashi or Okada would just be silly. No one was saying that should have happened. Now, I think it would have been nice for TMDK, for like Shane and Mikey to finally win a big match. You know, maybe hit Tanahashi with that tank buster or something, pick up those titles. But I don't have any real problems with, in isolation, Okada getting the win in his last Korakuen match and having the big love-in. He deserves that. He deserves that. In isolation, it's fine. But in the context of everything we discussed last week, I did snort with derision when not only he retained the titles, but then vacated them. Like, I mean, sure, it's only the six-man titles. There's not some magical transitive property that would have injected TMDK with Dream Team superpowers and superstardom. But you know what? I'm just the kind of person, Damon, who likes to see a title run end with one guy losing the title and a new guy winning the title. Like, call me an old fuddy-duddy. That's just the way I like things to go. And I will not be gaslit into thinking that this is some kind of unreasonable, outlandish idea. Now, the match itself was very good. I liked it a lot. The title reign in general has been fantastic. Yeah. I thought in this match, Fujita was excellent, and he managed to make himself look good, despite him basically being executed at the end. And I'm sorry, I don't buy into this narrative of this being some kind of generous gift by the selfless Dream Team, who gave Fujita an amazing amount of offense and made him look like a star. He got punked out in this match. If you think Okada taking one German suplex and a victory roll near fall is some kind of Christ-like blood sacrifice to the young lion altar, then you have completely lost your sense of perspective. I don't care, Damon. I'll call it like it is. I think Fujita looked good in spite of the match layout, not because of it. I don't think the youngster lining up to eat all of the signature moves of the older guys, barely breaking a sweat, is a particularly glorious way to end a championship match. But that's just me. I could be on an island with that. And look, it's, don't misquote me. This is not even me complaining, because it made sense within concepts of all the guys and all the storylines. It made sense. I'll say it again, Kosei Fujita, he's a rookie junior heavyweight. I have absolutely no problem with the way this match was laid out. The Dream Team should be beating this guy like a drum. That is fine. But can we please stop pretending that this was some kind of masterclass in putting over young talent? Don't talk shit. This was all about Okada, and that's okay. He's earned it, but let's be honest and call it what it is. Please don't throw flowers at these men for giving Fuji some scraps from the table. Damon, please talk some sense, because people on both sides of the argument are going full smooth brain on anything Okada related, and it's doing my head in.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Look, I think people may have confused. And here's the thing. I don't remember what I said last week, so maybe I did. You know what? I wouldn't doubt if I sat here and fantasy booked a scenario where fucking the upstart junior beats Okada on the way out. But correct me if I'm wrong, I also threw out, you know, he should probably shoot kick him in the face and you know, launch a career. I just find it amazing that they just stick to their guns. And I have to respect them a little bit for it, in the sense of they stick to their guns. Like, there is no way they are going off the beaten path and for any reason doing something crazy to fucking wake people up, especially on a guy who's on his way out. I'm going to be very truthful. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. He's leaving. And I know this might be so ridiculously old school, but I don't know. I wouldn't have a problem with it happening. Let's put it that way. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. The guy's leaving. I don't give a shit. Who cares? They just stick with their guns. They don't move from what they are. And I think us sitting here and even fantasy booking it is just a waste of breath. Because they're not gonna do something like that. Now, as we move on, would it be nice to have something happen as he leaves? They won't. Again, they're not going to do that. But wouldn't it be nice if they did? And again, as we outlined with Zach, I don't know, just something. Like, I don't know. There's a part of me that's like, okay, this is just a celebratory tour, Joel. This is just him. This is just the company saying, okay, as you described it perfectly, that unfortunately got put, what did they get thrown on YouTube?
I put it on YouTube.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Then you're on your own on that one. I was like, did somebody put this on YouTube? Like, why am I seeing this in my feed?
Well, my intention there was to make it easy to listen to and digestible so that people wouldn't have to listen to our entire podcast of nonsense. You see how well that worked out?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Look, we do a show, right? And sometimes we will pose scenarios just to get people talking and thinking of what if. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But the reality of this is this. You had a young lion. He's not a young lion. I take that back. He is a young junior, and I put that in air quotes because I don't think he's staying a junior. But okay, he's a junior. In the ring, in a six-man situation against Tomohiro Ishii, Kazuchika Okada, Hiroshi Tanahashi. Like, you know, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? If they had balls, maybe they did something crazy. They're not going to do that. So, yeah, you're left with this... You know, you're going to get the tears in the ring. And I love how everybody's like, you could see how emotional he was. Okay. Okay. You know what I mean? Like,
that's wonderful. Yeah. Right. Off.
Really? I'm like, okay. I don't know. Look, we got to move on. And I'm in a big way. I'm kind of like I'm ready to move on. I can't wait for these shows to get over with. Because you're right. These shows we have circled because for this company and for people moving forward, like these shows coming up to me are more important than like Wrestle Kingdom was. Like, if Wrestle Kingdom is the end of the season, if you will, then these shows most definitely are new year, season one. And I'm not saying it's make or break. Don't take it like that. But, like, we're all sitting here, you know, like Judge Schmales, well, we're waiting. We're hoping that good stuff comes of it. They have and here's the thing too. They have the opportunity. If this is just going to be, everyone cries, okay, we could do that. That's fair. The guy, if anybody in that company has earned that, sure, absolutely. This is pro wrestling. We control. I'm speaking like I'm the company, but they control how we can move forward. Do we want to think outside the box? Do we want to kind of get the ball rolling on that? Or are we just going to sit there and hug each other? And as the guy leaves, he speeds away in his fucking Ferrari. Like, what do you want to do? What do you fucking want to do? And if, as a fan, I would think, here's the problem. There is a time and a place for everything, right? There's a time and a place for everything, and I'm on board with that. And I have no problem honoring a guy who gave his heart and soul and his body to this promotion and to the Japanese pro wrestling scene. No doubt. You can't take that away. There's a time and a place for it. We could do so much more. And I would think, as a New Japan pro wrestling fan, you could see the bigger picture of instead, just hear me out, instead of having the love fest and the tears and the hugging and all that, let's get a little fucking nuts. And let's think
of Zack Sabre Jr. break his legs.
Fine. Wouldn't that be fun? He gets, like, everybody's looking for the big send-off and he gets carted out on a stretcher. That'd be great.
No, I went one step further. I want Zack Sabre Jr. to do replicate the Quan Chi fatality from Mortal Kombat 4. I want him to rip Okada's leg off and then beat him to death with it, as Okada's trying to crawl out of the ring.
This is what I want. Yeah. But do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'm out of line in the sense of we have an opportunity here. Now, again, we could sit here in fantasy book all day long, right, Joel? We've done it. Everyone's done it. And I've said it before, coming up with the ideas is not the easy part. It's not the hard part. Coming up with the ideas is the easy part. It's going to the building and being like, hey, look, we got this idea. We kind of want to get this guy over in the future. And, you know, you're leaving. And can you, would it be, And he'd be like, fuck that. I'm not doing that. So that's the problem. The easy out, and I think the out that we all predict is the cry and the goodbye, I love you, and everyone chanting his name, and that's it. Roll credits. I want to get a little crazy. I want to get a little nuts. I want to turn off that show and feel like, holy shit, what the fuck just happened here? Because those moments are few and far between. And even when you're pumping on all cylinders, right? Even when you're pumping on all cylinders, those moments are few and far between. And we have an opportunity for one. And that's all I'm saying, is that we have an opportunity for something that could be remembered for a long, long time, if only we had the guts to do it.
Chris says, how did you read the outpouring of emotion after the sixth man, all the hugs and handshakes? Did it give you goodbye forever or goodbye for now vibes? Daryl says, how many tears does Okada shed at his finale? Between Wrestle Kingdom 9, Nakamura's goodbye, and that last Korakuen show, he obviously has a track record. Is the Rainmaker going to play it cool, or is he going full Ric Flair waterworks on us? Hope it's the latter. Make it rain, Kazzy. He's going to cry all of the moisture out of his body until he is a husk like Weetabix, and he will crumble into dust. Hey, how about Ishii tearing up backstage? I thought that was much more interesting. I've never seen a Stone Pitbull move to that kind of emotion.
Right.
Multiverse A says, if Okada signs with AEW, which seems likely, could you see a Muto versus Tanahashi Wrestle Kingdom 3 situation where Okada returns to put over one of the young guns at a future Wrestle Kingdom? And if you follow the Wrestle Kingdom 3 path, would you have him as the IWGP champ like Muto?
I don't. Like, do you? Oh, seriously, Joel, in your heart of hearts, can you see that man ever coming back and putting over anyone?
Never say never. That's one thing I've learned our covering this podcast. There's been stuff where people have told us XYZ never going to happen, and bing, it has. So I wouldn't rule it out. And I do think there would be value there. You know, if Okada goes abroad in the States and becomes, you know, even more of a star there, and then comes back at some point and we have like a huge, I don't know, Wrestle Kingdom. What are we up to? Wrestle Kingdom? What have we just had?
400, right? What?
Wrestle Kingdom, I don't know, 22 or something. Okada versus Shota Umino or whatever, and Okada's putting over Umino. Yeah, I think there's value there. I mean, there's an argument to be had about that taking a spot from a New Japan regular, but you know, at the end of the day, if you're trying to pop a big
he's a New Japan
number at Tokyo Dome, and if he is putting over a show to Umino, I say, yeah, do it. If you can talk him into staring at the lights for one of the New Japan guys, then by all means.
And, you know, and even me sitting here for 5 minutes talking about, come on, have the balls, do something fucking crazy. One thing I did fail to consider, let's be very truthful here. I don't like the crowd, and again, for me to speak for the Japanese audience would be silly as anything that has come out of my mouth. But I think they want that send off. Like, they want that moment to show their appreciation. And I think he does too. So again, that probably is another strike in the "it ain't gonna fucking happen," but it's one thing to consider is that they want to give him that the send off. And here's the thing too. He goes away, and let's just say 2 years, 3 years, whatever the fuck it is, right? 5 years, whatever. Comes back, he'll be near 40, right? If not 40. To say that he's at his prime, probably we've missed that. But I'm willing to gamble that he is, you know, him at 80%, him at 75% is still better than half the fucking people in the business. And he'll have, the perception might be, this is a big star coming back home. And the value of him putting over someone then, as opposed to my harebrained idea to do it now as he's leaving, he might absolutely have more value doing it later. And I'm not saying that's even going to happen. You know, that's a million years, might as well be a light year away. But if I'm thinking out loud, there's probably more value there of him coming back and doing it as opposed to leaving and doing it. But I think, you know what, if you said, okay, put down $100, what are you thinking? I don't think he puts over anybody in either scenario. What do you think of that? And tell me another guy who's earned that to be able to call his shots like that. There's not many. You can count them on one hand. So, I think we're going to get a love fest. I think we're going to get the tears. There's going to be plenty of them. I'm going to hold out hope that they're going to do something a little crazy, but it's kind of like wishing for a new car under the Christmas tree when you don't have any food in the refrigerator. Champagne wishes and a beer budget, I guess, is what they say.
All right, last word of this match, then. Dr. Gary says, is Fujita the real deal? The guy seems to have it all and more. Could you see an Ospreay-style run through the junior and then up to the big boy belt, but accelerated?
I'm telling you, I think he doesn't stay a junior. And I'm trying to, like, I don't think his, and I know I always sit here with, and I talk about the height is the problem. The height is the problem. You can't fucking grow inches. You're going to... I think he's not obscene, right? I mean, he's not like Trent Beretta Jr., but he's not tiny. I like him a lot, and I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, he might be getting lost in TMDK, because everybody talks about a lot of the other guys. I love him. I think he's a talent. I think he's fucking great in the ring so far. I can't wait to see him. And let's put it this way. I think we're going to be saying his name a lot two or three years from now. Like, I think he's going to be a guy. That's how high I am on him.
Yeah, I think TMDK is actually the perfect vehicle for him. I think it's almost like specially designed to get him over. He seems like the crown jewel of TMDK. They're constantly putting him over, and the matches are built around showcasing him. So, yeah, I think this is a very promising trajectory for Yan Kote Fujita. All right, let's move on to the main event of this show, which was Shota Umino defeating Ren Narita, 33 minutes, 45 seconds by Death Rider. This match was a lot longer, a lot more intense than I expected, but really entertaining. Yes. I know a lot of people said they thought it dragged, but not for me, man. I thought it was well-paced. I thought there was really surprising, nasty table bumps that they did not need to do. Like, make no mistake, this is a Road 2 show, right? This is not one of their big shows. It's not even one of their name shows. And I think both these guys read the room and saw the vibe with Okada leaving and went out there to make a statement. And look, we're all in agreement that Shota is the guy, but I thought Ren was really good here too. I think we're kind of, a lot of the fan base is stuck in this sort of cycle of micro-analyzing everything Narita does, and I think being overly harsh, overly critical on him, I think I thought he's very good here, Ren. He's a nice foil for Umino. I'm not saying, you know, he's going to be the ace of the company or anything, but I find him a lot more fun to watch now than pre-house Ren Narita, who'd lost his way a bit. And like I said with the junior title match, the House of Torture interference stuff, it's really concentrated. So there was one tiny spot, and then the lights went off. Despy and Tama Tonga came out to save the day, which kept up the energy. And in general, I think both Shota and Ren really stepped up here and showed up to an impressive degree. And we needed this following all the Okada gloom. And it was really nice after the match. Tama gave Shota his blessing afterwards. He told Shota to go and kick Evil's ass. And a really great promo from Shota, who was talking about very poetic language. When the rain is over, even when the darkness comes, he will be the light to guide and lead the way. He declared himself the new ace. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Me too. And I love the fact that they gave them a lot of creative control when it came to, you know, spots outside the ring. Like, you know, they let them go. And go they went, right? We're not keeping it in a ring. We're going everywhere. That was good. It was somewhat shocking to see, in the sense of, okay, they're letting them loose, letting them have some fun. I thought both of them did really well. Look, a lot of what we do here is us speculating on blue chip prospects, because that's our future. That's who we're looking for to carry us through for years to come. And when you get, I don't know, I kind of felt like this match, make no mistake about it, they're wrestling each other, which I think helps continue that progression of making them bigger than where they are now. I love the post-match. I did love what I heard there, because he's a guy that's like, okay, you know, I don't think anybody's questioning the fact that he will be there in a few years. But, you know, he's like, you know, give me the ball now. I love it. Love it. Love to hear that. And again, wrestlers say what wrestlers say. Fine. I've always thought, Joel, that people were overly harsh on Ren. Is he, okay, if we're ranking them, okay, sure. I can see where people are like, well, he's definitely fourth. Okay. I'm not going to try to sway those opinions, because I think in time people will change their minds and move those people around to fit, you know, how they're doing in that exact moment. But I do think that it's an easy, repeatable narrative that people have in their head, that he's no good, he's washed, he's fucking, you know, just bottom of the barrel, he's a fucking Shibata wannabe dollar store version and all that stuff. I think there's plenty there. Like, there's plenty there. And here's the thing too. The idea of turning him in, or keeping him or whatever, as this fucking, again, carbon copy clone of of Shibata. I don't know. Like, I'd rather see something completely different. I really would. I mean, maybe not completely different. Like, I don't want to see him, you know, being the new leader of House of Torture, mind you. But, like, this, you know, he's got to be this fucking shooter. I don't know. Does he have to? I mean, do we need that? I thought I saw somebody in the Discord say something that really struck with me. It's like, people have this perception of, like, 7-10 year ago Shibata that they want. Like, this idea of him. It's like, okay. You know what I mean? We could do that, I guess, but why? Why do we need that? Why do we need this guy to be that guy? So anywho, I think there's a lot there. But yeah, I did enjoy the match, and I love the way that they gave them a little freedom to do some exploring around Korakuen.
Andrew says, now that House of Torture are officially the second most popular unit in Japan, how should House Deniers send their apologies? So there you go. There's a my best victory laps. House of Torture are good. They are over. Hamburg Gal says, how are we looking for the implied Shota never run? I'm okay with it. I kind of hoped for more from Shota. Shota was a guy that I would think, you know, if he's out there saying, I'm the ace, never title, doesn't quite cut it for me. I want to see him winning the Japan Cup or winning the title at Dominion or winning the G1. That doesn't, being in the never title mix doesn't preclude him from doing that. But he should be aiming bigger than that.
Right. I know that the thought process is, okay, well, it's the never belt. You know, it's the starter belt, so to speak. Now, no. Emphatically, no. Let's shoot higher, right? And you're right. Does it have to be the, you know, instant world? No, of course not. We're not giving him. But I think when the time is right, you know, global. When the time is right, New Japan Cup. When the time is right, something a little bit more lofty should be his goal. Because when you look at the never title, and there have been plenty of times where guys, you know, have used that as a stepping stone. I don't want to say it's a title that might be beneath where we want him to go, but let's not fuck around with the never title. Let's not. let's shoot a little bit higher for him out of the gate. Now, will they? Probably not, right? If we're being brutally honest, probably not yet. Let me take that back. Yet. But no, if I'm, I don't think I want to set his heights higher. Let's have him leapfrog over the never.
Flynn says, can you see any silver linings in what's happened? I feel quite excited that I have no fucking idea what's going to happen now and that people will get some big opportunities. I'm kind of ready to move on from the people leaving now. I'm looking forward to getting to New Japan Cup season and having a proper reset. And Louis says, I think the future is still bright for the future of New Japan with Fujita just killing it during that six-man never title match. The main event between Shota and Ren, all the young talent is really stepping up. What else can the other roster do to help the company? So, I mean, yeah, I feel those two questions kind of complement each other and echo our sentiments. I feel we're on the same page, David. We're both quite bullish about how New Japan's going to do. We both think they're going to be fine. There is a vacuum, there's chaos, but that is exciting. And there's going to be big opportunities for people to step up, whether that is guys who've been sort of pushing against the ceiling, like Zack Sabre Jr.'s or the young guns coming through, or, you know, maybe we might get someone coming out of left field, like a Nick Nemeth grabbing the ball by its horns and becoming a star. Who knows? Like, and all that uncertainty is exciting to me. I like the fact that, you know, if you were to say who's winning New Japan Cup, who's winning G1, who's Wrestle Kingdom main event next year, I don't really know. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, this is... you know, what was that show? the fucking show where, you know, you're trying to go out on a date and the people are behind like this wall and, you know, you don't know what you're going to fucking get, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And it is exciting, right? Because you could have literally your soulmate behind that curtain. Or you could have someone that just, what's happening here? Right? You turn it to fucking the scene from The Office where he goes on the blind date. He's like, oh, no. It is exciting. I'm there, right? The possibilities are there. Like it could be new, fresh, and exciting. I guess the only hesitation that I have, and it's a big hesitation, is that for the most part, in the past 2 or 3 years, has anything knocked your socks off when it comes to anything over and above the matches? That's what has me worried. Like we have, again, we could sit here in fantasy book all till the fucking cows come home. But the reality of the situation is that it is, like, there are plenty of names that we would love to see in a more prominent position and to carry us into the end of this year. But okay, give me something that says we're not going to see fucking Sonata again in the main event picture, right? Give me something. You know what I mean?
We've got him right around the corner, Dave.
Well, I know, right? But
man's sleepwalking his way to another world title shot that he does not want. He looks like he's been forced to do it at gunpoint.
I know. And again, I don't know how he's working with that type of injury that apparently he has. And he worked through the entire Wrestle Kingdom match. But that's all I'm saying. Like, when you hear me kind of being hesitant and kind of being unsure and not willing to commit fully, I want to. Don't get me wrong, but there's been a lot of evidence to support the fact that cautious optimism is really the way to go. And when we watch these shows coming up, like, I can't stress, at least for me, and I really feel like there are a ton of people that are in the same boat, Joel. Like, there's a lot riding on these shows. It could be a love fest. It could be crying and goodbye and we'll miss you and all that. And I think there should be some of that. But we have a fucking opportunity here to launch something, to make something happen. Look, here's the bottom line. I would love this for these shows, these new beginning shows, to be the start of something new, fresh, and exciting for New Japan Pro Wrestling, and not a situation of, well, there goes our biggest star. There goes our biggest, there it goes. Bye. Like, we have to. Yeah.
They've got all the tools. They've got all the tools at their disposal. They've got the roster at their disposal. It's just, can they use them correctly?
Yes. That's problem number one. That's issue number one. And look, like, we have an opportunity here. We do. And I do want there to be a celebration of his time here. But, like, I would desperately rather have people talking about what happened in a main event or a post show angle or something, and have that be the chitter chatter. And oh, by the way, yep, this was Okada's last night. I would rather be that as opposed to, oh, the tears were shed. And he was, you know,
the booking on that night was good, wasn't it? You had the Okada loving, and then, okay, forget that. Here's the next generation. Yes. Here's the future. Ren versus Shota. Let's fucking go.
Yes, that did give me some hope, because that very easily could have been the main event, right? And, you know, it was exactly what I described. Yes, that did give me a glimmer of hope, Joel. Look, fingers crossed. Am I going to sit here and kill them if they don't? No, I'm not. But boy, do I fucking want it. Like, I really do. And I might just be delusional even thinking that it's going to happen. But, and I'm not, and when I say all this, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying fucking he, somebody kicks out of a rainmaker and, you know, pins the fucking guy clean in the middle of the ring. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying,
like Ultimate Warrior, no selling the pedigree. Just so it takes the rainmaker straight back on their feet.
Right, Road Warrior Hawk, no sells a pile driver. No, that's and again, please, if you want to make a fucking YouTube clip, please make that. That's not what we're saying. What I'm saying is, let's do the loving. Let's all celebrate. But on top of that, the focus should be on New Japan Pro Wrestling moving forward with something red hot. Red hot. Because I really feel like that's the smartest thing to do. Will they do it? Who knows?
All right, we've got two shows to preview then. This is Rose of the New Beginning at Corakon Hall coming up this Sunday and Monday. So at the top of the card on Sunday, well, actually, let's pick it up from the fifth match, which is Henare versus Gabe Kidd. Now, with both of their New Japan futures up in the air, you can rest assured these guys are going to go out there and beat the absolute shite out of each other. So circle that one. Do not miss that one because they're going to kill each other and it's going to be great. I hope they both stick around with New Japan and keeping my fingers crossed for that. But I'm very, very excited by Henare versus Gabe Kidd, and I urge you listeners to check that one out as well. Then we've got Jeff Cobb versus Alex Coughlin. Then we've got Callum Newman versus David Finlay. And then our main event is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match with Francesco Accurate and TJP defending their tag titles against Drilla Maloney and Clark Connor. So this show, I think, is going to possibly answer some of the questions that we have about the future direction here. So very difficult one to call because I could see Clark and Driller winning those titles back and causing more disharmony within United Empire and specifically Catch 2-2. Maybe it's a bit too early to go to that. I don't know. I mean, this is a kind of a weird one because the Wrestle Kingdom match wasn't great and the Coffin match that led into that wasn't great either. So I'm a bit hesitant. Like the thing that's going to stop this match from being great, which it should be, There's no reason it shouldn't be. The thing that's going to stop it from being great is shenanigans, specifically TJP shenanigans. If this is all Aswang heavy nonsense, then it's going to lose my interest very quickly. But there's certainly a lot of interesting directions it could go in a narrative sense around Francesco Acura. So, I don't know. I can't decide at all, Damon. I don't know. I'm not going to decide. I have no prediction here.
What would be a worst case scenario for you on this match? Because I have a worst case scenario, and I also have a ideal situation.
No, you go right. Then. Let's hear you.
Worst case scenario is there's disharmony in Catch 2-2, and somebody joins the fucking Bullet Club. Like, that would be the worst case scenario for me, right? Best case scenario would be a title loss and teasing of dissension, teasing more disharmony. Because, I kind of treat it like it's title changes. Like, I like to count title changes and when they happen and the possibility of, okay, nobody's lost the title yet. There's a real good possibility we're going to do it here. But, and vice versa. Oh, we've had three title changes already on this card. I doubt they're going to do a fourth, right? And I feel that same way with turns and angles and shit like that. Planting seeds is what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that we don't have a full-fledged turn or angle or anything like that because I don't want it to take away from the possibility of something bigger later in a show. Right? Does that make any sense?
I'm following you.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose the thing on the horizon is that cage match in Osaka. So at the end of the day, all these matches are setting the table for that. So Whatever happens here is not going to be the last word on this this war between the two factions.
Right, right. But wouldn't it be something if they did turn on them and now they're outnumbered and have to bring in somebody else to balance out? That'd be something. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting, actually, now you've mentioned that, to look at what the announced teams are for the cage match. So it will be on the Bullet Club side, Driller, Clark, Gabe, Coughlin and Finlay. And on the United Empire side, it's Akira, TJP, Henare, Cobb and Ospreay. Definitely some wiggle room for things to be shuffled around there. I mean, there are other guys that can step in because of the Great O'Khan not in this match, Callum Newman not in this match. So certainly on the United Empire side, it wouldn't stun me if there are some changes to that lineup of five. But, I mean, I know what New Japan are like. They're quite conservative and they don't like changing announced cards unless they absolutely have to. So I would lean towards whatever is happening with Catch 22, it being dragged out a bit longer and the final payoff coming with this steel cage match in Osaka on February
11th. All speculation and kidding aside, the fucking talent in that cage match is sickening. And you got guys that are, you know, a lot of those guys have a little chip on their shoulder, right? they feel like they might be overlooked. There ain't nobody going to be overlooking a lot of those guys in that cage. This match has the opportunity to be a match people will talk about for a decent amount of time. You know how great matches kind of come and go in people's heads? You know, it's like super red hot and then whew, they forget about it. Like this match will, you know, kind of, you know, leaving in the rear view mirror and a lot of contracts, a lot of, again, a lot of people who feel like they might have something to prove. Boy, we could have some fun here, right? We could have some fucking fun here. Did they mention how they were going to, and they may have, and I might have missed it or just forget. Is this like everybody in the ring at the same time kind of thing? Is this a
yes? Okay.
Good. All right. Good. I'm up for that. That could be a lot though. There could be shit that people miss, right? With everybody in the ring at the same fucking time. That's a lot of people in the same ring, right? Okay. They'll figure it out. I have all the faith in the world in them in that cage match. To me, you know, between that and Zach and Daniel, like those two fucking God, those two are going to be fucking stellar. And again, do something with it. Fucking do something with it.
Also, we have the show on Monday, February 5th, on Korakuen Hall. So I'm going to skip straight to the main event here, which is the Faction Warfare Gauntlet match with LIJ against Just Five Guys, so Bushi, Hiromu, Tsuji, Takagi, and Naito against Taka, Doki, Yuya, Taichi, and Sanada. So the rules for this are the matchup begins as a 10-minute 1-4 singles match. Winner stays in, loser's eliminated, and then the next member joins. If it's a time limit draw, both members are eliminated. When a team is down to their last member, matches have no time limit and entrance order not to be announced beforehand. So all the chatter backstage is about the generals going in last, but they haven't actually said who the generals are going to be. And there's some quite funny but also quite embarrassing backstage stuff with Sanada and Taichi. So Taichi saying, yep, Sanada, he's our general. He's going to be the guy. And Sanada saying, no, I don't really want to do that. It should be you, Taichi. And Taichi saying, no, it really should be you. And Sanada saying, no, thanks, mate. Which, you know, see what I mean about Sanada seeming to, it's like someone is going to force him to do all this stuff and be leader. He really doesn't want to do. But
wrestles like he's paying off a debt. You know, like he owes, like he's got to work a certain amount of dates because he owes somebody money. that's exactly the feeling, the vibe I get from him.
I mean, I like the concept of the match. I mean, it's something a bit different, like winner stays on. Surely, I mean, this has got to be a win for Just Five Guys, and it's probably got to be Sanada standing tall at the end of this, right? To give him the momentum going into.
Yeah.
Is it Sapporo who's going to be defending it?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you figure he loses the belt at Wrestle Kingdom. He'll need a little something to spice him up a little bit, make him more of a threat. Yeah, I would think.
All right. That's that then. Yeah. look forward to it. Should be fun.
Yeah. I mean, all the, I think it's going to be good. I do, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think, look, they've already committed to the match. So, okay, let's do the right thing and give him a little bit more, a little bit more fire going into what I don't think anyone is excited to see, but they're going there. So let's do the right thing.
All right. Last question here. Metham95 says, how much longer do you think they'll leave Oiwa in Noah? I think Beefy Boy is ready to come home. Yeah, he's a guy that doesn't really get talked about, but has a ton of potential. When do you think we might see Ryohei Oiwa come back to New Japan?
Would it be too soon to bring him back for these shows?
Yeah, I'll just let him cook a bit longer in Noah, okay. I would say.
All right. All right. We'll give Pickering some fucking talent he can watch.
He loves us.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of us.
We're pro New Japan, baby.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That is fine. All right. That will do it. So if you want to throw some appreciation no, I'm not going to read that. No.
What's wrong?
No, there was a question saying anything on the upcoming tour that could be a sleeper hit from Red Bear Hugh. I'm expecting Kid versus Hinari to be a hell of a fight. Should have read that earlier, but I didn't. But yes, Kid versus Hinari. If you're going to walk away from this podcast excited about anything, it should be that. Okay, right. Let's get out of here then. So redcircle.com/shows/super-j-cast. If you want to make a donation, hey, if you do make a donation, let's say, I don't know, $5 per month, let us know. Yeah. Let us know. Send us your receipts and we might hook you up with something nice.
Yeah.
Not promising anything, but just throwing that out there. At Cobra Kawaii and ProWrestlingTees.com/SuperJcast. That's where you can buy t-shirts. Thank you, Editor Dan, who's on Twitter at LousyHero219. Follow us on Twitter at TheSuperJcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and goodbye.
My name is Ricardo. I am the host of the Lucha Jobbers podcast here in the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. We are a Spanish-speaking show dedicated to discussing and analyzing pro wrestling from all across the world. From AEW to CMLL, we talk about American wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and of course, Lucha Libre. If something big happened in the pro wrestling world, we will talk about it. So if you know Spanish or have a friend that knows Spanish or want to practice your Lucha Libre pronunciations, go listen to the Lucha Jobbers podcast right here in the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. Nos vemos por ahí.